Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Colbún conference call first quarter 2017. My name is Siobhan, and I'll be your operator for today. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time you require operator assistance, please press star zero, and an operator will be happy to assist you. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host for today, Sebastián Moraga. Please proceed.
Thank you, and hello everyone, and welcome to Colbún's first quarter 2017 conference call. My name is Sebastián Moraga, I am the CFO of the company, and joining me today are Verónica Pubilla and Soledad Errázuriz, members of our investor team. I hope that you have received our first quarter earnings report and earnings review presentation that we have prepared to complement the analysis of our figures. Otherwise, you can download them at the investor sections of our website. Now, I will turn the conference call to Verónica.
Agenda for today on slide 2 is as follows. We will begin talking about the highlights of the company. Then we will analyze in detail this quarter's results. And after that, we will provide an update on our growth opportunities. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session. Questions will be accepted in either English or Spanish. Now, please go to slide number 4 to review the key consolidated figures of the company. Consolidated last 12 months EBITDA as of March 2017 reached $586 million, and last 12 months net EBITDA reached $189 million. Further analysis will be provided in the upcoming slides. As of March 2017, financial investments totaled $664 million. Slightly decreasing compared to the balance as of December 2016, mainly explained by the payment of the interim dividend in January 2017, partially offset by inflows from operational activities. Due to the lower last 4 months EBITDA, net debt to EBITDA last 4 months ratio slightly increased from 1.7 times in December 2016 to 1.8 times in March 2017. The average USD long-term financial debt interest rate is 4.9%. Colbún has a total installed capacity of 3,852 megawatts, where Peru accounts for 570 megawatts. In Chile, 49% of the installed capacity is hydro and 51% is thermal. Now continuing with the presentation, please go to slide number 5 to review some highlights of the year. The recently completed hydrological year presented the worst hydrological conditions of the past 60 years. Poor rainfalls compared to an average year began at the end of June, decreasing in the subsequent months. This resulted in extremely dry ice melting and consequently lower hydro generation. In this line, Colbún's hydro generation during this quarter decreased 15% compared to the same period last year, reaching 1.1 terawatt hours. The lower hydro generation of the period was partially offset by higher cost-efficient thermal generation, allowing Colbún to meet 100% of its commercial commitment with cost-efficient base load capacity during first quarter 2017. On its part, revenue for this quarter totalized $382 million, a 5% increase compared with revenues for $363 million in first quarter 2016. Consolidated EBITDA in this quarter reached $155 million, compared with $170 million in first quarter 2016. The lower EBITDA is mainly explained by lower hydro generation due to extremely dry ice melting conditions, and 2, lower EBITDA contribution from Fenix. These effects were partially offset by higher transmission toll revenues. Financial debt reached $1,703 million, in line with December 2016. Financial investments totaled $664 million. Value decreasing compared to the balance as of December 2016. Given this, net debt did not present major variations. Now I will turn to Soledad who will speak about the main drivers of last quarter results and operations.
Thank you, Veronica, and hello to everyone. Please move to slide 7 for a review of the main financial figures of the quarter, starting with the physical sales and generation balance analysis in Chile. Total generation reached 3.2 terawatt-hour in this quarter, slightly decreased by 1% compared to the same quarter of the previous year, mainly due to lower hydro generation since the hydrological year presented extremely dry rainfall and ice melting conditions. Physical sales during this quarter reached 3.1 terawatt-hours, down by 2% when compared to the same period of the previous year, mainly explained by lower sales in the spot market. Spot market balance during the quarter recorded net sales for 366 gigawatt-hours, compared with net sales for 403 gigawatt-hours in the first quarter of 2016. Despite the adverse hydrological conditions, 100% of the company's commercial commitments were supplied with cost-efficient baseload generation, which is hydro, coal, and natural gas. Now, please continue to slide 8 to analyze Chile's EBITDA for the first quarter of 2017. First, revenues for this quarter reached $334 million, increasing 9% compared to the first quarter of 2016, mainly explained by, first, higher transmission tariff revenues. Second, higher monetary revenues from energy and capacity sales in the spot market. And third, higher operating revenues, mainly due to the portion of the tax and emissions of thermal power plants transferred to non-regulated customers. This tax became effective in January 2017. Raw materials and consumables used increased 26% on a quarterly basis, mainly due to higher gas and diesel consumption to compensate for the lower hydroelectrical generation of the period, to higher transmission toll costs, and three, to higher other operating expenses corresponding to a portion of the tax and emissions associated with non-regulated customers. Although EBITDA decreased by 7%, reaching $143 million in the first quarter of 2017. Now, please continue to slide 9 for a review of the main financial figures of Fenix, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis. Fenix thermal generation reached 715 gigawatt-hours during this quarter, versus 663 gigawatt-hours in the first quarter of 2016. Power generation during this quarter increased when compared to the same period of the previous year, mainly due to a temporary restriction of gas transportation during the first quarter of 2016. Physical withdrawals from customers under contract during this quarter reached 670 gigawatt-hours, 25% lower, compared to the first quarter of 2016, mainly explained by the end of a supply contract in April 2016 and the expiration of short-term supply contracts during that year. Spot market balance reached net sales of 26 gigawatt-hours in this quarter, versus net purchases of 117 gigawatt-hours in the first quarter of 2016. Given the above, 100% of the company's commercial commitments were met with their own generation. Now, please continue to slide 10 to analyze Fenix EBITDA for the period. First, revenues for this quarter reached $48 million, 14% lower compared to the first quarter of 2016, mainly due to lower sales to regulated customers and to other generators, due to the expiration of bilateral contracts mentioned before. This was partially offset by higher sales in non-regulated customers and in the spot market, and higher transmission toll revenue. Raw materials and consumables used increased 6% compared to the same quarter of the previous year. The increase is mainly explained by higher gas consumption due to the higher generation of the quarter. We penetrated $11 million in the first quarter of 2016. Lower when compared to the EBITDA of $17 million recorded in the same period last year. The increase is mainly explained by, first, lower revenues from ordinary activities due to the expiration of bilateral contracts, second, higher raw materials and consumables used, mainly due to the higher generation of the quarter, and third, lower prices in the spot market. Now, let's move to slide number 11 for the consolidated non-operating income and net income analysis. Non-operating income in this quarter recorded losses of $21 million, in line with the losses in the first quarter of 2016. During the quarter, higher expenses were recorded in the line other profit loss, which mainly corresponds to the tax expense on the emissions of thermal power plants. This effect was partially offset by lower financial expenses, explained by the lower outstanding financial debt during the period due to the debt repayment for about $500 million in 2016, and by the positive effect of the variation of the Chilean peso to dollar exchange rate over temporary balance accounts in local currency during the quarter. The company recorded in this quarter a net income of $61 million. Lower than the net income of $76 million in the first quarter of 2016. The decrease in net income is mainly explained by the lower EBITDA recorded in the quarter. Now, continuing with this conference call, please go to slide number 13, where Veronica will give you an update on the status of our growth opportunities.
Hi, Veronica. As we have mentioned before, we continue searching for growth opportunities in Chile and other countries in the region in order to maintain a leading position in the power generation business and to diversify our sources of income. In terms of our local projects, we announced in December 2014 the construction of La Mina project. The commissioning of the project is expected in the second quarter of 2017. Estimated CAPEX, including transmission lines, is approximately $130 million. As of March 2017, the project accounts for 99.2% progress. La Mina qualifies as an MCRE mini hydropower plant, which contributes to Colbún's obligation to comply with the renewal requirements of the Law 2025. Regarding the San Pedro hydroelectrical project, in June 2016, the environmental impact assessment for the changes to the project was submitted, being initially accepted into process by the Environmental Assessment Service of the Los Ríos region. However, in August 2016, the authority decided to early terminate the process due to lack of relevant and essential information. The decision was confirmed after the company filed an administrative appeal with the new information. Notwithstanding the foregoing, the company is analyzing observations from all public services in order to collect and prepare a timely response with technically sound information required by the authority. In parallel, we continue developing an explicative and clarifying meeting process plan with municipalities, communities, neighborhoods, regional authorities and indigenous communities, among other stakeholders, with the objective to identify the best way to insert the project in the area. In regard to Huatulino Melado hydro project, it is a complex located in the basin of Huatulino and Melado rivers in Colbún municipality in Linares province. The project considers a total installed capacity of 360 megawatts and an average annual generation of approximately 1,629 gigawatt-hours. The project includes a transmission line of 220 kilobytes to inject energy in the city, with a total extension of 90 kilometers from Huatulino Power Plant to the connection point in Las Condores. As of March 2017, the project has begun the preparation of the environmental impact study. The hydro project Los Cuartos is located in the Biobío River in San Carlos de Pueren locality, about 6 kilometers upstream the intersection with Panamericana Sur Highway. This hydropower plant has water valves that allow it to achieve a capacity of 93 megawatts, with an average annual generation of 511 gigawatt-hours. The project also considers a 10-kilometer transmission line to connect the power plant with Molten substation. During first quarter 2017, the company started the development of basic engineering and the environmental baseline study continued. leading to the preparation of the project's environmental impact study. This concludes Colbún's first quarter 2017 results review. Thank you for listening, and now we are open to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1 on your phone. Questions will be taken in the order received. Please press star 1 to begin. The first question comes from the line of Arturo. Please proceed.
Hi guys. Thanks for the call. I have three questions. First, I would like to know if during this first quarter you already start supplying the 350 gigawatt per year PPA you gained from Sun Edison. If I see physical sales of regular contracts remain almost flat year to year, and I thought that if we add this contract, we should see an increase of 4 to 6%. Thanks.
Hi, Arturo. Yes, we have started to serve that contract, and probably you don't see the increase because of some customers' demand was lower, but yes, we started supplying that contract.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. My second question is if you could give more color about the new contracts you signed during the last month in terms of duration, when they will start, and with what companies, etc.
Yes, Arturo. Obviously, we can give some color, not into details because of non-disclosure agreements, but what we can tell you is that they are basically approximately 20 to 30 different clients. Most of them are cement, sanitary, and medium mining companies, and the average life is approximately 6 years.
Perfect. My last question is, could you tell us the reason of why we saw a sharp increase in transmission tolls in Chile?
That is basically, Arturo, that explanation is a little bit, it's not easy to give in this conference, so I would prefer to
okay.
Probably get back to you next week, because it's you know that transmission tolls in Chile are not easy to explain, so I have that I could address that question next week. But you know, transmission tolls have all this reliquidation tariffs that come through past years. So just to leave you with the basic idea, this is son las reliquidaciones from previous years. So that is not that it's more tolls, it's reliquidaciones from previous years.
Okay, perfect. Okay, thanks. That's all from my part. Thank you a lot.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask an audio question, please press star 1. The next question comes from Sebastian Ramirez of Doska Asset Group Management. Please proceed.
Hi guys, many thanks for the call. I have two questions. The first one comes in relation to the fuel cost, especially when we look at coal cost. You are virtually the only generator that separates that, and when we look at your current cost of coal, it's around $60 per ton, which compares very favorably with what it's embedded in the API2 prices in the regulated contracts. So I want to understand how long should we see this level of prices in coal, given in consideration with the huge spike that we saw from third quarter last year to now. And I do understand that you have contracts that probably are in a lower price, but those contracts, when should they end? And in the same size, in the same direction, I want to understand GNL cost and what are you looking forward to trying to understand if the current level is a level that we should expect for the rest of the year. And then I have another question.
Okay, so okay, let's go to the first question. Yes, actually, we are the only company in Chile that opens their fuel costs, and we do that basically for the transparency for the market. So we are happy that you can take that information to improve your analysis. But basically, why have we been able to capture a good cost? Basically, because we negotiate medium to long-term contracts with our suppliers, and we were able to settle, I would say, a very competitive price before the spike. And for the renewal of these contracts, we think we could be able to maintain a competitive cost. That spike was very specific. It was basically driven by a supply shortage from China. But we remember we source, or we have the ability to source from all around the world, so we have been able to capture those competitive prices. I didn't get your second question, so repeat it, it would be great.
Obviously, sorry, maybe I wasn't too clear. It's related to the GNL cost. So what we observe there as well is that the prices have surged since during all 2016, and now with another level close to $7.50 per million of BTU. So I want to understand, we don't know the clauses and where the indexators that you have with your contract at ENAP, with Metrogas and ENAP, and obviously it's an information that you cannot disclose, but I'm trying to understand if this is the level that we should observe for the rest of the year if oil prices remain in the same level.
Well, unfortunately, we cannot give hints of what will happen in the future, Sebastian. That's an information that we cannot disclose. I'm sorry, I cannot help you with that question. Actually, what you are the information you're taking from our press release is correct, but we cannot give you any forward-looking information regarding what would we think about the cost of LNG in the coming month.
Okay, no worries. And the last question comes on the line of a contract that you signed with Total last year, the auction that you did for solar energy with Total and SunPower. And I want to understand when that contract entering within your purchases of energy. During 2017, 18, 19, because that's not very clear for me.
If that starts in 2021.
2021, sorry. Great. Perfect. That's all from my side. Congrats on the results, and thanks for answering my questions.
Okay, bye.
There are no further questions in the queue.
Okay, so if there are no more questions, I would like to conclude this first quarter results review, and thank you for listening, and we hope to see you all again in the next quarter review.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect. Have a great day.